One of the reasons I wanted Encircle to exist is because I think when we come together and we tell each other stories, yeah, that's where the love begins. One, two. So we got to have this conversation about what this place could look like in Provo that would be a real resource to the community that needs to feel like home, look like home for kids who don't feel at home anywhere else. You're changing the world.
It's kind of funny too, because as I've come along this journey, like a journey to becoming a stronger ally, I do have people, like I'm recognizing more people in my circle than I would have thought at one point were in my circle. But I was having a conversation with my parents the other day, and they are the best people, so good, but so old school, so conservative, so single-minded in a lot of ways. And my dad made a comment about the queer community. And I just looked at him and I was like, Dad, like something I never would have stood up for, but I was like, Dad, your grandkids are around you. And if at some point one of them is wondering and questioning their sexuality or their gender identity, whatever it is, they need to feel like their grandpa's going to be the last person on the earth to judge them for that. And like, I think that kind of put him in his place. Like, but it was a very kind conversation. Like, I felt like we were sitting around a kitchen table. We were at our countertop bar at our cabin. And the conversation went a lot smoother because there was that like love and understanding there. And like, I didn't feel like I was chastising him as more of just like, Dad, like, look at your grandbabies. Like, you have four right now and one on the way. And who knows what they're going to look like in 10, 15, 20 years from now. But they better know that their grandpa loves them no matter what. And I think those are like, we were talking earlier about why this process, like why being an ally or why supporting Encircle is important to me. And it's because of that. It's like, because these kids, like I look at my daughters, and before having kids, I don't think I gave being an ally much thought. It was kind of just like, well, I'm in my marriage, I'm happy, whatever, yeah, like life's good. But then you have these children come into your life and you're like, I can't imagine them doing anything that would separate me from loving them. Like it's like a really remarkable transformation to experience, and I'm excited to experience it again in a couple weeks.
So you have two girls. How
two
old
girls.
Are they?
I have a 5-year-old and an almost 3-year-old. So Ray's the oldest, and then Scotty's the 3-year-old, almost 3-year-old.
Fun.
Yeah,
they're cute.
Really fun.
And then you're having a girl or a boy?
We are not finding out. So we're like those crazy people that everyone says, I couldn't do that, but we love the surprise. So we've done a surprise on all of our babies.
All of three.
Yeah.
I tried once and it didn't work. So what is, like, tell me what that experience is like.
Well, initially what made me want to do it was the fact that my mom had us all and it was a surprise. And I just like loved the idea of like getting your Christmas presents on Christmas morning is more exciting to me than finding out what your Christmas present is on December 1st. So I was like, hey, let's have this surprise. But as I've done this and experienced not knowing the gender each time, it's hit me how powerful it is as a mother. Like there's this almost 10 months of my child's existence, or me knowing of their existence and their potential of existence, depending on how things go throughout the pregnancy, that you don't have any, like, nothing attached to them. No stereotype, no, this is going to be my little ballet dancer, this is going to be my little soccer player, this little boy is going to be like his dad's skating buddy, whatever it is. And I even like find myself, if I think this is a boy, I'm like, oh, this little boy will skate with Colby and they'll be like best friends. And I'm like, but my girls could do that too. Like, so it really doesn't matter, like whatever the gender is. And it's a really special time to just feel the baby inside of me moving. And I just love this baby because they exist. And I think that set me up for thinking in the future, okay, like what if my child does come out as gay or bisexual or what, trans, whatever it is. And it's like, this has been practice of like, it doesn't really matter what they're into, who they love. Like they are beautiful just for existing and like being part of our family, and there's a power in that that has like been really, really cool to experience.
I think that's beautiful. And I think if parents, as we as parents saw our children that way of, I love them no matter who they are and I'm here to support them grow on their journey. Because I think that's probably one of the things that parents who come to Encircle struggle with the most is we have these dreams for our children. We think they're going to be this and that. And when all of a sudden they're not, like I have to redream my vision for them, which, you know, is human nature. But I think really learning to, Tom Christofferson, who helped us start Encircle, he was on our board. Mm-hmm. He talked about listening to your child. He told a group of parents actually right in this room about, you know, just how we believe in as Mormons in personal revelation, we should listen to our kids and that they have an understanding of who they are and what they should do.
Yeah, and letting them own that.
Yeah.
Like, and supporting them in what that journey looks like. Because, just even like taking aside like sexuality or gender identity, like my little 5-year-old, what she's interested in shifts every single day. Like, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do? Like, do you like soccer or gymnastics better? Like every day that shifts. And it's like, you've got to just provide the opportunity for them to figure it out and then just support them in being a scientist farmer. That's sometimes what she wants to be, or a photographer, you know?
A scientist farmer.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I don't know what that means to her in her mind, but if that's what she wants to be, I'm going to support her in doing that.
I love it. It sounds like a green idea where you can grow more things in less land or something, less water.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to ask you, Thread showed up. We're kind of going backwards on this, but Thread showed up and said, we want to help Encircle.
Yeah.
And last year you did a day. Mm-hmm. Tell me exactly where I think Thread's given Encircle about $15,000 last year. So thank you very much.
Of course.
I mean, that's huge to us. That's the hardest part of being a nonprofit is trying to raise the money to enable the mission to happen.
Yeah.
And when someone shows up and says, hey, we want to help you, because usually it's the opposite where you're, you know, approaching people. What happened? How, why?
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I feel bad that it's taken me so long to get to this point. But I think it was after our friend, my dear friend, came out to us at our kitchen table. And then my journey of becoming a mom has like kind of like the great awakening. Like,
yeah, it's a great
where
awakening.
You just like, what I said earlier, where it doesn't affect me. Like, I don't need to really think about LGBTQ issues because it's not in my life. But then you have a friend come out to you and you have children and you think, okay, what if that is the reality for our family in the future? Like, so all those things have got my brain spinning. And I also, as a business owner, you want to be cautious of like rainbow washing and doing things just for like the look of the marketing scheme, like the marketing aspect of things. But last year, I honestly don't remember how the connection started, but I was sitting there and I was like, Encircle is literally like, we are next door neighbors. Like, we're just a couple blocks away. Like, how come we haven't partnered with them before? Especially because our core values at Thread are creativity, humility, entrepreneurship, integrity, and freedom. And I feel like those all are what Encircle embodies as well. Like, the freedom to be who you are, like integrity, like being true to yourself, creativity, like allowing these kids to express themselves in the ways that is best for them. So I was like, this seems like such a natural thing, and our demographics are very similar, like 18 to 25 year olds, teenagers, like, so it just really in my mind was like, this makes sense. And as I've tried to educate myself on minority issues and things like that haven't affected me in the past, I was reading there was a quote or something on Instagram that said something along the lines like, pride exists because there are people who believe their life isn't worth living. You know, like something along the lines that some youth still believe they're better off dead. And that's why pride exists. And so when Pride Month rolled around, I was like, we can't not be doing anything anymore. Like, we need to be doing something. And this is a great opportunity to like get ourselves like an entry step and then build a relationship with Encircle. And I've mentioned it a few times, but my husband's launching a nonprofit. So our slogan at Thread Wallets is Carry On. And so we're launching the Carry On Foundation, nice. Which is in tandem with Thread. And it's to help youth develop like mental health resilience skills through action sports. So we're building like a skate facility and stuff. So I'm like, we need to get your youth there and like in these lessons. And there's so many things that I think we can work in tandem on, especially because Provo, Utah and Utah in general needs it. Like there are still people like my parents who I mentioned earlier who, you know, say things and I don't think they mean to be homophobic or racist, but it's just in how they've been raised and how they've grown up, and that those mindsets still exist, and it can't anymore. Like right. it, when people are dying, when kids are dying, when kids are committing suicide, when they're overdosing on drugs, whatever it may be, like these really unhealthy coping mechanisms, because they can't feel like they can be true to, they don't feel like they can be true to themselves, like that cannot be happening.
Right.
So I think that's kind of what stirred that. And then the marketing team also, like when we proposed the partnership, it was like that, yeah, everyone just was like, yeah, that's a no-brainer.
So. Well, we're grateful. And the cool thing is what it says to the youth who come to Encircle when they see Thread as a partner.
Yeah.
It says they care about me.
Yeah.
And also, someday maybe I could get a job in a place like that. And I have a future in a place like Thread.
Totally.
And I think that those messages are so important, because I believe these kids grow up mostly believing that they don't have a place in our community and that they won't be loved if they are authentic.
Yeah.
You know, we work at Encircle a lot with helping kids be authentic, because we know thriving individuals live authentic lives as well as they find connection. And it really is a group project. It takes the whole community.
It does.
And that's what we've got to do, is get the community to show up, and just grateful that you have in the way you have.
Well, we need to be doing more. I'm like, if there's 50 kids coming in and out of here every day, I need to bring over a box of product for you guys to just
hand
out.
They would love it.
I'll do that. That would be awesome.
Well, okay. Can we talk about you for a minute?
Yes.
Because I am a huge, from afar, fan. I grew up here. Where did you grow up?
Just in that house that I was talking about earlier. So here in Provo.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah. That makes me even more proud. Yeah. So
went to Tim Few High.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's where my kids go. So I grew up here, and I went to school for a long time.
Yeah.
And the moment I had a child, I did what the world told me I should do.
Yeah.
Which was, I thought the world was telling me I should stay at home. That's how you're a good mom, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I, for 17 years, stayed at home and made sure my kids' lives were as perfect as I could make them, which is also very great.
Yeah.
But because Encircle came along, I was panicked about my kids, right? And not spending 100% of my time just on them. And I remember Barb Young saying, your kids aren't going to remember if there's one more plate of cookies on the counter. It will be the big things that you accomplish that will help them know that they can also accomplish big things.
Mm-hmm.
Which got me thinking, and I remember I read this article. It was a Harvard study that said there were 11 qualities in highly successful children that they grew up in. And one of them was having a working mom.
Cool.
And I was like, oh, what? No. You know, because I hadn't done that.
Yeah.
And so I remember my thought became, all my kids have seen me do is clean my floors, do laundry, try to create this perfect world for them.
Yeah.
Which is also wonderful. And
it is.
I'm not saying I regret that, but I think there's a lot of really great ways women can raise families.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I would have done it a little more on my terms early on. And so, like, I think now I'm super happy that my girls especially have seen me do hard things.
Yeah.
And things that for me have been scary. And my sons have also seen their mom do things aside from just be at home so that they will hopefully be more
supportive. I think it's almost more important for the boys to see that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes boys don't grow up to be men who are like capable of being side by side a really strong woman. So like having your son see that, like, hey, no, this is okay.
So, and my understanding is you came out of BYU Hawaii.
Yeah.
Did you meet your husband there?
Yeah. And in a round, yes, in a roundabout way.
Okay. So, and you guys start Thread
pretty
much right out of school.
Yeah.
And you're a co-founder of Thread.
Yeah.
And in Utah, you're one of the most prominent women business leaders.
That's very nice to say.
Well, we need that, and it's so neat to see all that you're doing to help women, as well as I know you're a Forbes 30 under 30.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me about that, like the process of becoming a Forbes 30 under 30. Like,
you know,
it's
the process, I think someone just nominated me and I filled out a form and it was very, like they vet your numbers and like what your company's doing and stuff. But it was kind of shocking for me too, because I was like, who nominated me for this? Like, so my husband and I started ideating Thread Wallets in 2014. And then we really started it in 2015 after we'd been married about a year. Or 6 months. We'd been married about 6 months. And we had the idea because my husband had lost his wallet and needed a new one, went to find a new one online, and all he found were like boring, bulky, like George Costanza type wallets. If anyone listening to this has watched Seinfeld, George Costanza, there's an episode where he has like a wallet that's as fat as a brick. And he couldn't find something that he liked, so he grabbed a rubber band and carried that around for a while.
Which is actually brilliant. That's I should start doing that.
Very minimalist.
But now we have Thread.
But he didn't like, I mean, it was just a rubber band. And he loved companies like Stance Sock, Skullcandy Headphones, Neff Headwear, brands that had taken a single product and made something really cool out of it. So we put our heads together and created the Thread Wallet, which is basically like a glorified rubber band. And from there, we've branched off into more carry accessories, like I mentioned earlier, being the go-to brand for all things carry, and our motto being carry on. So we have bags and totes and AirPod cases and phone cases and all different accessories. So it's crazy that a glorified rubber band has landed us. We've been on the Inc. 500 twice. I've been on Forbes 30 under 30. Yeah, so it's opened a lot of really cool opportunities, and I think a lot of it, we started at a good time. We had a good price point. Like, so many things lined up to take us to where we are now. But it's been an incredible, like, a really incredible opportunity, because it's offered us the opportunity to give in ways that we wouldn't have been able to give personally. Like, the donations that we've been able to give to InCircle, that would not happen if it wasn't for Thread, because we have this entity that is making a significant amount of money. So it's been really, it's really cool.
Well, and that you're choosing to take some of the proceeds and do some really important things in the community is also amazing. So sounds like you guys have made a lot of really great decisions.
Yeah, we're
and
trying.
Made the timing work.
Yeah. Well, and it's been fun to do it. Like you were talking about motherhood. It's been really cool. Thread has been part of our journey since we were dating. And so it's been part of my kids' lives. So I have two girls and then this baby on the way. And it's so important to me. Like, I want nothing more than to show my daughters that you can have a beautiful experience as a mom and love your kids and do fun things together. But then I can also step away and be Mackenzie. I was like, I want my daughters to see that I love motherhood, but I also love being Mackenzie. Like, I have stuff outside of being a mom that makes me and that brings me passion, or, you know, sets my heart on fire and makes that I'm passionate about. So stuff like that is supporting women in business, supporting, a lot of it is supporting like minority business owners, although I need to educate myself more on like black owned businesses, women, black women owned businesses in particular, or LGBTQ owned businesses. But when you are a minority starting a business, and I'm really grateful I have my husband, so we've been doing it together, but it's a significantly harder. And so being an advocate for them and giving them mentorship opportunities or opportunities to connect and network with each other is, it's been a remarkable journey.
That's incredible. And I love that you're helping support women-owned businesses and leaders, because I think there aren't enough women who are out there showing, at least in our community, maybe enough women saying, you know, you two can do this.
Totally. And Utah's been ranked dead last for 4 years in a row for women's equality. And that statistic, every time I think about that, just like breaks my heart and then just like pisses me off. I'm like, how, like, our state is so great and it's amazing on so many levels. And then I think about that and I'm like, why are we dead last for women's equality? And it's hard because you have discussions with people who do, they love being at home with their kids and that's where they feel called to be. And so there's nothing wrong with that. And there, but the recognizing that there's also nothing wrong with a woman having a job and having kids, whatever that looks like, whether it's I'm working full-time and I have a nanny full-time help, or I work part-time, or I'm starting this out of my basement so that I can be home with my kids and start a business. Like, there's so many opportunities for women to get out and experience the things that they want to experience. And it doesn't even have to be business, but being involved with nonprofits, coming in here and volunteering, things like that are what build the community, even if it's not starting a business. Women being involved in the community. I recently read Melinda Gates' book, The Moment of Lift.
Oh, I haven't read that.
Oh, you've got to read it. Oh my gosh, it's so good. But just, it talks about how when women are part of the conversation at all levels, and I think that goes from motherhood, government, businesses, to just volunteer service, all the, you know, whatever it may be, when women are involved, like, it lifts whole societies out of poverty. And it's a remarkable book. But I think that it's just important for women to know that they can find what they feel called to do, whatever that may be, and that they have every right to pursue that. And they don't have to, like, choose motherhood or this.
Right.
One or the other. It can be both.
And messy is beautiful.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think it also teaches our children that life isn't perfect and you can deal with some chaos and uncertainty, and together
100%.
You make it through the day as a family.
Yeah, 100%.
I was just in Israel, or in Egypt, and you see women almost nowhere unless they're walking down the street with a man.
Yeah.
And, like, let's say a hotel, there's only men working there. And there's just, it, you can see that lack of a woman's addition, or that balance of
100%.
I just felt like, God, if they had a woman or a gay man here to help,
it would
help this place run a little differently.
Yeah.
And anyway, it was just for me a really eye-opening thing to see, like, when we take women out of the equation.
Yeah.
Oh, and reduce who
they negative are. Effects on societies for years. But when you do have more people, whether it is a gay man or a woman or a person of color, when you bring all of these people to the table, you're making decisions that better affect society as a whole and not just one group of society.
And it's a better decision because it's coming from all different angles.
You're getting so many different perspectives.
Right. Okay, so can I ask you kind of I don't know how I'm going to phrase this question, but most of the parents who come to Encircle, and also their children, the biggest conflict they have in being who they are or who their child is a religious tug and pull of, I love my religion, I love my child, or this child being like, I believe in this religion that I, but I also I'm told I'm wrong, and I have a lot of self-hate and a lot of shame because I believe my God thinks I'm wrong.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
Yeah.
And how do you...
It's a question that I grapple with and, like, struggle with probably daily. Like, I honestly, I grew up very devout in my faith as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and in my belief as a Christian, my love of Jesus and of God. But as I've grown, I think that life is a lot more nuanced than we think. And people say there are absolute truths, and that might be correct. There's things that I think are absolute truths for me, but that doesn't mean that it's an absolute truth for somebody else. So I think there's a lot of this, like, kind of gray area. And I remember growing up hearing the analogy in the church, like, it's not a buffet. I don't know. You grew up in the church, right?
Yes, yeah.
It's not a buffet. You can't pick and choose. Like, you hear the commandments of God and you do it, and that's life. But I think, again, that there's more nuance. And I think that life is a buffet. Like, as a member of the LDS faith, we believe in personal revelation. And what I tell people right now is that there are certain things that I just click the unsubscribe button to. I can't believe that. Like, I can't believe in a loving, like, the God and Jesus Christ and Heavenly Mother that I believe in are accepting, loving, kind individuals. And I think that they are a lot more accepting than we've been taught in the past. Like, I think a lot of times you hear of God as, like, really condemning and, like, vengeful, you know? And to me, that's not the God that I know and that I love. And so I'm trying to leave room in my life, I guess, for that nuance. And there are beliefs that I hold very dear as a member of the LDS Church, like that I can be with my family forever, or that I can become a better person each and every day. Things that I'm like, yes, I can 100% get behind that. And then there are things that I have lots of questions about and concerns. And I think about those often. But I don't think that, like, me leaving or walking away from it would change anything internally. And I want it to change because I see that there's still a lot of good here and a lot of good people. And I hope that being an ally, being someone that believes that there can be better, that we can be more accepting, that we can be more Christ-like. Like, I think on all our buildings, it says visitors welcome. And to me, that means everybody. Everybody is welcome here, and everybody is welcome. And to me, that's just the mindset that I've tried to, like, live my life by, especially in these past few years, as I feel like I've said my, like, great awakening. Like, it just, there's just so much that we don't know. And so it's hard because you hear things from church leaders, and there are things that I'm like, I don't agree with that. And yet I'm taught that they are, of, you know, they speak for God. And I was actually listening to a podcast today with a Black man who is a member of the church, and they were talking about the church's history with racism. And he was saying, you know, just because in the Bible you had people like apostles denying the Savior, like betraying the Savior completely, like, we didn't leave that out of the Bible. Like, we talked about their mistakes. We talked about the, like, errors that were made.
Right.
But that doesn't discredit Christianity as a whole. And so he was saying, like, there are going to be errors, and there are going to be things that people say that aren't reflective of Christianity as a whole, or what I believe the LDS Church can and should be as we move forward. So I don't know if that answers your question. That's very lengthy, but I think that there is, as a religious individual, LDS or not, I think that there's just so much more room for that nuance and that, like, you know, I don't have to know the answer to that, but I'm going to do my best to, like, change what I think is wrong.
Yeah.
And stand up for the people that don't have a voice here and make room and space for them. And I mentioned Rosie Card to you earlier, but you've got to look her up. But she's, I've seen her quote, there's a LDS primary song that's, if you don't walk like most people do, I'll walk with you, I'll talk with you. And that to me is, like, the embodiment of what I want the religious space of the LDS Church to look like. I don't care if you look different than me. I don't care if you identify differently than me. Like, I'm just here to love you, and that's my only responsibility.
Yep. Funny you bring that up. Carolyn Pearson wrote that song.
Yeah.
And she's a big LGBTQ advocate.
Yeah.
And has written books on that. You know,
yeah.
She, you know who Carolyn,
yeah,
is. So when we walked in the Provo parade, I don't know if you ever remember, no, that Encircle didn't get in, but we got,
no,
in the parade.
I don't, okay.
And then they found out it was an LGBTQ group, and we were then out of the parade.
Oh my goodness.
So the next year when we walked in it, That was our banner, and the music we walked to was I'll Walk With You. And I think that's what I've seen in Provo, though, is people from day one showing up at this little house and really standing with these kids and walking with them. So I think that sometimes, I don't know, what I've seen here in this home is people's best selves and loving the way that we all should.
Yeah. I remember when we first toured this facility, they showed us the window that overlooks the Provo City Center Temple, and hearing that was where they introduced us to the No Sides Only Love slogan. And I was like, that's it. Like, we don't have to be one or the other. Like, in life in general, I think we put a lot of pressure on our others more than ourselves. Like, I think we want a lot of mercy for ourselves, but we're very free with the judgment we place to others, where it's like just recognizing that that individual is trying their hardest to cope with all the different realities that life is facing us. And I think that that's something that I've also tried to internalize and like look at with myself is, am I extending the mercy and like grace and kindness that I'd hope someone would extend to me? And I feel that when I walk into these homes. I feel that like more so when I'm spending time with LGBTQ youth or people that I know who are members of this community, their kindness and like if you mess up their pronouns or something, like they're just so compassionate and loving, and I think just really embody that kindness and mercy, and we have a lot to learn from that community in regards to that. And I think that we would all benefit from spending time in these homes. Like you said, when you walk in and you hear that no sides only love, it's like we don't have to be against each other. There's so much ground in the middle to come to and understand and see each other as people. I'll walk with you, I'll talk with you, you know?
Yeah, and we're definitely more alike than we are different.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
Yeah, I think that motto has helped us the whole way through.
I love it.
You know, when a mom walks in the door, the idea is she feels safe to say, these are all the things I'm afraid of, and be honest and know that someone will say, I see how you feel and go on that journey with them instead of being quick to judge or I just love how you live in that gray and that you are, you know, you choose from the buffet.
Yeah.
Because I think at your age, I was more very black and white.
Yeah.
Right is wrong. Right is
and
right.
And that's how
wrong
I grew up. Like, until my great awakening, it was like, this is it or this is it. It's like, you know what? I don't know what's it.
Yeah, but you're making a huge impact.
Well, if you go back to the Bible, which I'm very religious and have grown up with that as my background, but the two greatest commandments are to love God and then love your neighbor as yourself. And when Christ is asked, who is your neighbor? He doesn't make any exceptions. It's everybody.
Yeah.
And so I think if that's the two from the man himself, the two things that we're supposed to focus on, then everything else will fall into place if we're doing those two things. And I think a lot of times, like you were saying, we grow up and we are in this black and white mindset. And when we pin ourselves in these corners of right and wrong, we're blinding ourselves to the empathy that we need to fill to like build these like wholer, like more whole societies and kinder societies.
Well, and if you think about it, the Old Testament has, I think, six scriptures that ever mentions homosexuality.
Yeah, yeah.
And biblical scholars will say they're not on their face what they look like.
You know,
that there's
totally
a totally different interpretation.
Yeah, I saw that recently. I think during Pride Month, I saw like a TikTok or something about that.
And then here comes Christ with a new law.
Yeah.
And does he ever mention homosexuality? No, he says just what you said, love everyone.
Yep.
Okay, so I want to ask you one more thing I keep wanting to ask you. So as you think of these youth, if one of them were here today, what would you tell them? What would you want them to hear about themselves and how you see them?
Like already getting teary-eyed because I picture that youth being one of my girls, you know? Like, what if my daughter comes to me and says, I'm in love with a woman, or I don't feel like I'm in the right body. Like I identify more as a male. And I think of that. And I think like all I would want to do is just hug them and just not even like say anything, but just ask questions and try to understand where they're coming from. And if I were to be talking to my daughter in 15 years from now, or one of the youth that visits the Encircle home on a regular basis, I would just want them to know that like there is so much more to them than who they identify as or who their, what their sexual orientation is. Like, you are a creative, ambitious, kind, loving person, and like those things matter, and you matter, and you bring so much to the table. Like I mentioned earlier, the kindness and the empathy that I see these youth exuding, and the acceptance and love, it's like the world needs that so much, and the world needs them. And I know that's so cliche, because that's, you know, you hear that a lot from, the world needs you, you're unique, there's no one else like you, but it's so true. And like, if we continue to lose youth to suicide because they're struggling with these internal emotions that come with coming out. I'm reading the book by Charlie Bird right now, that was the Cosmo the Cougar.
Yeah.
And he just explained like what it felt like to come out. And I just, like, hearing those words, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, no human should have to feel that weight on their own. And so I would want any youth to know how special they are and how much potential they have, and that they don't have to be defined by one single moment in their life or one single attribute of their character or their identity. Like, we're all so multifaceted and so unique, and just, we all bring so much to the table. And I would want them to know that I'm excited to see what they bring to the table. Like, as an employer, I'm like, come bring what you have to offer to the table. As a mom, I'm like, please, like, be an example for my girls, like, of someone who's true to themselves. Those are all things that, again, I think our world needs more of.
I'm so glad I asked the question.
Yeah. thank you for asking.
That was beautiful. Something you said is, these kids are so brave. Like,
so
I think
brave.
Of them here when they're 13, 16, coming out and saying, this is who I am.
Yeah.
And I need you to know who I am, and to be authentic and real when the world's telling them they're wrong. I can't imagine the courage that takes, or the strength. And it really makes me excited to see, like, who are they going to be
when
they're 30, 40, 50, if they're already that strong in the beginning.
Yeah.
And you also brought up how kind and forgiving they are. Like, I don't know if it's that internal struggle that they go through on their own first, that these kids who come here are so wise, and they're
so
old.
Yeah.
They're in these little bodies, but
there's a level of compassion and empathy that it takes some people decades, even don't ever master in their lives, you know?
Well, and one last thought that I was thinking of from what you said is, since working in this area, I've studied a lot on the biology behind our sexuality and our gender identity. And now understanding that since the beginning of time, there's been a percentage of the population that's been LGBTQ.
Yeah.
And thinking that it will be forever.
Forever.
And to me, and also the biological components, it's a God thing. Like, it's part of humanity.
Yeah.
It's intended. And so,
you're not broken.
Why would we shame someone for the way that they were created?
But for how they came into this world.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we do know from psychology that we're more comfortable with someone just like ourselves and who thinks like us, looks like us.
Yeah.
But if we could change that a bit and say, I want to learn from people different than me, who don't have my same experience, I think we become better people. And people are also themselves, because they feel valued and loved and seen.
Well, it's almost kind of selfish, because I feel like my life is more, I have more joy in my life when I associate myself with different people. It's like, maybe selfish motives, but it's like, I feel like my life is more full when I have conversations with people who think differently than me. When you're only interacting with the same type of people, you're just only seeing your corner of the room, and life is so much bigger and more beautiful than that.
You're amazing.
Oh, thank you for having me and
it's been a huge honor.
It's so fun.
Now it's, you know, it makes sense while you're doing all you're doing, and it's going to be fun to watch you and your family and Thread over the years.
And Circle and Thread are going to have many more years of partnership ahead of us. So
love
that's
that.
Exciting.
Thank you. Yeah, and thank good you. Luck with the baby. I'm not thank dying you. To hear.
I know. I'm so excited.
Thanks, second.
Thank you.
I don't know how to end this thing.